At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Mindset Podcast presented by Cuts Clothing. So guys, I want to give you each the chance to win a $500 gift card presented by Cuts. All you have to do is go to my Instagram at davidmead411, find the latest Cuts post and follow the instructions to be in the running. I've told you guys before and I'll tell you guys again, these are one of my favorite brands of clothing of all time. If I won the $500, I'll be getting myself some caps, a couple of t-shirts, the jogger pants. You definitely got to get the jogger pants. And a couple of other accessories on there. So again, guys, go to my latest Instagram Cuts post, follow the instructions, get yourself in the running. And even if you don't win, you can still enter DavidMead15 at checkout to get 15% off your total order. All right, let's get into the episode. Shay, you just got back from the World Cup recently. We'll talk a bit about that. But we trained together in Bulimba about year ago?
This time last year, actually.
Yeah. You, me, Therese, Isaac, Luke,
yep.
A couple of the Wyndham lads.
Yeah.
So we did a fair bit of training. You showed a lot more heart than what I probably anticipated.
Thank you.
I'm just teasing. But you've done pretty well this year. You got to the World Cup with the Orchids. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
Honestly, that was incredible. The UK, the girls coming over, meeting each other. Prior to that, we got to the PM13, so that was the first initial meeting with the whole squad together, and then we were with each other for a week. Everyone went back home for 2 weeks, and then we met at the airport again 2 weeks later, and we were off. So,
what was England like? Had you been there before?
I don't know if I can say it was cold because it was drilled into us before we left that we weren't allowed to talk about the weather.
Coaches are supposed to say it. They say it all the time. If you go to PNG, don't say it's hot because it'll play on your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
If you go to England, don't say it's cold because
it'll play
on your mind. It'll make you weaker. It's, you can acknowledge the weather.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Like, it's funny that though, because when we first got there, everyone was like, oh no, like it was anticipated that it was going to be freezing. But then we were just, yeah, especially because of the PNG girls, like coming from their climate. Like, I know we live in sunny Queensland, but, you know, they come to Australia and they're like, this is cold, like this weather. And then having to go over to England.
Yeah.
We knew that we might have the possibility of struggling with that. But honestly, we were walking around with like just jeans and a shirt and maybe a jumper over the top. But then every time we went to training and hit the field, it was freezing. Yeah. Like, we were rocking up in like massive jackets, like beanies on, everything, and then having to take it all off. And then, yeah, like the warm up would basically be like the whole session because you're trying to still warm up.
Yeah, it's hard though, isn't it? You're over there and you're trying to think of the weather. You're like, I'm mentally tough. Yeah. The weather's not going to play on me.
Trying to convince yourself. Like,
coach just told me that, you know.
Yeah.
Coach just told me. Don't show weakness.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. And then, like, you find comfort in saying things like that and you're like, can't say that it's cold today.
Yeah. And I mean, I've met Benny, the coach, before and, you know, he's doing his job.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job with his, actually.
Definitely.
Putting the squad together and going there. But, you know, I think it's part of his job to say that.
Yeah.
Don't acknowledge the conditions because it'll play on your mind. And it does.
Yeah.
It does to a lot of people. But, yeah.
It was, you know, don't. Sort of like these are things that we can't change, so we just got to run with it. And
yeah, you can't really control. I think a lot of coaches will talk about, we just talk about what we can control.
Yeah.
What we can't control, we just
uncontrollable.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. But I'd say England was cold. First time experience.
Yeah.
And how did the other girls like it? Outside the
weather.
The weather.
We really enjoyed it. We were lucky. We stayed in a park called Leeds, which had like a city centre and we'd go shopping a lot, girls, the PNG girls. We all really enjoyed it. We got to do a few things. We were about 4 hours out of London and then we had a weekend away as a team. I think it was the first week we got there because we were there for a duration of 6. So, yeah, we were lucky to have a weekend away and we got to travel by bus, our team bus, to London and experience that. The Eiffel Tower. Don't cut that out. The Big Ben.
The Big Ben, and the clock, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the Eye. Yeah. The London Eye. So we all went on that and did the whole tourist thing.
It's been a good weekend.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was beautiful.
You know, I lived in France for 3 years. So England was our trip away every second week.
Yeah.
We enjoyed Leeds, Manchester. Did you go to Manchester?
We did. Just a bunch of us because we had a free weekend. And some of us got tickets to Manchester City.
Oh, yeah.
We went and watched the football.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was
a cool experience.
That was amazing. Like, the atmosphere is, like, second to none. And, like, I didn't think, because I've never watched soccer or football before, but sorry for those that are watching.
No, it is it's a different experience over there.
Mm-hmm.
And a league, no one knows really league compared to soccer over there.
Yeah,
you get 5,000 fans at a league game. It feels like 30,000 over here.
Yeah.
You can only imagine the soccer over there, getting the 50, 60,000 plus.
It's crazy. Fans.
It is an electric experience.
We kind of got there a teeny bit late and we sat down, and because you can only buy tickets in twos. And we sat down and I was with my mum and the whole crowd jumped up and her and I were just sitting down and we were like, oh, better get up.
Yeah, follow everyone else.
But then after we were following the ball and we were up and down with the crowd. So
yeah, it would have been a good experience.
It was.
So your mum was there to watch play for the Orchids.
Yes.
That would be a good experience for her.
Proud moment. Yeah, my mum and my dad came over. So I was really lucky to have them both there in support. My mum is actually from London. She was born in London. So that was an experience in itself, to experience being there, you know, obviously representing, I guess, two sides of my heritage, like being immersed in a place where she grew up and then being able to represent my father through being there with the World Cup. Like that was pretty incredible.
That would
have
been a cool experience.
Yeah.
Do they share any tears off the field?
I don't know if I can say this. Dad might watch this and be like, why? But I think I'd only been gone for like a week and a half maybe, because, or 2 weeks, let's say 2 weeks, give him that. And it was our first jersey presentation against Canada.
The first game?
Yeah. First game against Canada. They just rocked up for the jersey presentation. I unfortunately tore my quad in the training session in lead up to that. Mm-hmm. So then I got, because the coach spoke to me and said he'd wanted to put me at fullback. So I was really excited. And then obviously this happened, I think it was 5 days prior to that game. So then I got pulled out, and then mum and dad rocked up, which I didn't know that they were coming to that jersey presentation. And because I was sitting out, I kind of was in my own little world, a bit sad, but obviously happy for the girls that had been named. Yeah. And then they walked in, and then I was a little bit sad, and then he seen me, and then he got a little bit like, and my dad does not show any emotion. So then I was like, suck it up, dad, you're going to make me cry, and doesn't look good. But I think that was probably the only, like, I don't know if it was him not seeing me for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Did you know they were coming over to England?
I did know that they were coming, but okay, I didn't know they were going to be there at that. Yeah. They kind of just rocked up and was like, surprise.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, no, at the games, like I think they don't show it to me, but they're definitely sitting there with a lot of
support. I'm sure they'd be very proud. You know.
Not so much tears, but I mean, it's more, happy.
Good emotional experience.
Yeah.
I think it would be for any parent seeing their kid represent their country of origin, and it's always a special moment, not just for the player, but family, friends.
Yeah.
I think parents especially, because they've seen you.
Yeah. I mean,
go through everything. So
they did tell me multiple times how proud they were. So I was really lucky, you know, to have them there and tell me that in person. So
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd need to get your dad on the podcast, talk about his experience.
Honestly, it'll just be weather.
Yeah. I think we spoke off mic earlier. I did an interview before the game at the Prime Minister's game.
Yeah.
Tried to speak to him and he did not want to look at the camera.
Apparently he spotted you though, and he kind of come up to you and was like, hey, meaty. And then he didn't talk to you. Like, yeah.
No, that was fun. That was a fun day. But playing against the Jillaroos mm-hmm. in the Prime Minister's 13, mm-hmm. what was that experience like in terms of the game intensity and lead up?
Definitely. I mean, I'm lucky that I play with a lot of those girls through the BHP competition and either with or against. So I kind of personally, I knew what we were going up against. But I think the way Coach Ben like described us and like brought us together, because we'd only been together for a duration of a week. We were just, you know, shaking hands, saying hello to one another at that point. So going into a game like that, he kind of took all the expectations off us. He was like, it doesn't matter about the result. This is just about you guys gelling. So, you know, going into a game like that, you'd kind of be really nervous and you're kind of thinking about, okay, what's the result going to be? What's the outcome? But, you know, he kind of just took that all off us, and it was basically just going out there and having a run together and getting to know a little bit more about each other before, obviously, going into our training sessions like quite heavily. But yeah, I mean, we took that on board, and going into the World Cup, we obviously, you know,
Sorry. I did watch the games. You know, I thought you did pretty well, considering the amount of experience that PNG team has compared to, say, Australia, New Zealand, even some other countries. I know it's a very uneven playing field at the moment, just because, you know, the main competitions here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the Orchids team is made up from PNG, and when you don't have that experience, you see, I think even like the local Brisbane comp, that's mm-hmm. a step above what's happening in PNG in terms of competition experience. Yes. The effort's there, definitely, in competition in PNG, mm-hmm. but when you bring experience in, it's a much easier to gel as a team than it is when you have, you know, minimal experience, because, you know, you got to try and make sure you get all your off-field stuff right.
Exactly.
Especially, you know, time.
Yes.
Time's a big one.
Our off-field, I think your off-field experience is, you know, not taking away from the game, but it's more important in creating that platform when you are on the field. So, you know, given like what you just said, like having not as much experience. And I mean, I know you can do so much on your own in your individual way, but when you come together as a team, like, it's basically starting again, because you kind of want to work out how to, like, you know,
pass
this.
That, you want to pass that information and knowledge on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we've got to like find that common ground and then start from there. So I kind of think that's what the PM's game was for us, is to figure out that common ground so that we could move forward into the World Cup.
Yeah.
With our campaign.
And so, how do you find the intensity of the game? Yeah, score aside.
In
terms of like, say, you running the ball, getting tackled.
Yeah.
Is that much different to the local games that you play?
Honestly, the competition that we play in, BHP, I think any one of those girls could be up in that, like up there. So, I mean, going from that to that type of comp, I mean, from left to right, you've got the world's best.
Yep.
So it's obviously a little bit higher than in regards to, you know, contact and speed of the game and skill set. But I mean, I've had some pretty big hits from other girls in the local comp. Yeah. So I'd give
the intensity of that
full credit to the girls in the local comp also. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, I think when you find yourself, well, this is what I found anyway, at a pretty young age. Mm-hmm. I think I was 19 when I debuted for Cummels
mm-hmm.
against England and then New Zealand and then Australia. So when I got exposed to that, I feel like that's kind of like a make or break for someone, because if you don't step up to it, then it can break you pretty easily.
Yeah, that's like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, so I feel like I was pretty lucky in the sense to experience intensity of the game at that level. So mm-hmm. then it makes you think, I need to get a lot better here, because they're a lot better than I am. And I need to train as hard as I can just to get even closer to them. Yeah, so
definitely. It puts a benchmark there for you.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that experience will be not just good for you, but all the girls moving forward.
Yeah, definitely.
And in terms of the World Cup, played 3 games over there? Was it 3 games or 4?
In total, we had 4 games, because we made it to the semi-finals.
So the semi was the 4th game?
Yep. Correct.
How was that? How did you find that the lead up to it?
our approach was the same for all the games. Like we were very lucky that our game plan didn't ever change. So every time we rocked up to training, we knew what we were doing. I think, like, given the duration, like, we were only, like, our campaign is off the back end of 2 months together. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a lot of movement which you can do. So we kind of, in regards to our game plan not changing, it was just about making little changes to make yourself individually.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Improve, like, yeah. And then coming together collectively like that. Like, it wasn't, okay, this happened in this game, let's do this differently here. Like, it was like, it's okay, like, stick to it. Like, it'll come. Like, our opportunity will come. And, yeah, I think that worked really well because, again, it took the pressure off us and we made it to the semi-final on that.
I thought you did really well to make it to the semis. And it, to be honest, from 2017, the difference in, you know, just energy levels from the group collectively mm-hmm. is very noticeably different to today. So it's been a huge step in the right direction for the Orchids. So I think, you know, just imagine three more years to the next World Cup? Yeah, in mm-hmm. France. 3 more years. I think as long as everyone's training hard, there's good systems in place. The coaching's improved. Players are training hard. More pool of players to choose from.
Yes.
To increase that competition.
Yes.
I think the Orchids are moving in the right direction.
Yeah. We, in saying that, we had videos being sent to us from home and there was a few comments in there saying that you've encouraged my little sister or you've encouraged me to go and play. So that pool that you talk about, I can only imagine how much bigger that's gotten since that.
Oh, man, I've got goosebumps here and there. Yeah, that's awesome. You would have seen some of the passion showed back home. I mean, you've experienced that before, right? You've seen the passion that people in PNG show about their rugby league. What are your thoughts on that?
I actually have a video and there's, I mean, I know we speak about the whole men and women thing, but there's the video and it's men from left to right, a whole group of them. And there's just, go the Orchids, like, to have that compared to, you know, when we first
only 5 years ago.
To see that was, I think, it put tears in on the whole, like, groups.
Yeah.
Because it was on the big, like, on the big screen and then, yeah, that was, you wouldn't ever see, like, you know, back in 2017, that wouldn't be
Well, there was empty plastic bottles getting thrown on the field at the girls, you know, telling them to go home, deserve to be, should stay in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Clean up, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I think culturally there's been a huge shift. Made by the Orchids more so than any other sporting teams in PNG, just because of the game's growing in Australia, mm-hmm. New Zealand, across the world. So, mm-hmm. but for PNG to have the women's team represented on the world stage and, you know, talk about these things, it's going to shift the culture massively.
Yeah.
And in a positive direction, I think.
Yeah.
It is well known that, you know, men and women don't have equal rights across the country, just in terms of the way people are treated and, you know, just the way the culture's been over years.
Yeah. Those learned experiences.
Yeah, there's been huge. So the Orchids is such a, you know, powerful vehicle to make create some good changes. And I think that's going to transfer over to other areas. So in the corporate space, I know the corporate space is doing a big job in terms of bringing up more women leaders, you know, in several areas. So doing a great job there. But I think in terms of across the country, not everyone gets to see what people are doing in the office, but everyone gets to see what you girls are doing on the field. So I think that's going to help the country as a whole.
I mean, I don't want to like talk about the negative responses that you have on social media, but it's inevitable.
Oh, we'll get to that. I want to talk about that. Yeah. If you want to talk about negative stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to harp on it, but it was incredible to see how quickly it shifted from negative to positive. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously, it was through a game of rugby league. Like, for that one thing to create such a massive shift was a little bit like, you know, I don't know.
Mind blowing.
Like,
yeah.
To.
It is strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just seeing one person have a complete belief attitude about something and then you're like, oh, actually, no. Yeah. I should change that.
Yes. And it was just off the back of a win of a rugby league game. Like, yeah. To have that kind of power through a game where it's women who are taking the field, like, I can only imagine, like, in 6 weeks, like, I can only imagine what can be done if we continue to progress off the back of that.
Yeah.
And what, you know, the like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you see it over, you know, you can only imagine what it will do over a couple of decades.
Exactly.
But, you know, even the Australian sporting, you know, women's sports space, there's a lot of, you know, positive, negative stuff that's been talked about. But the positive stuff is there's involvement. You know, you're active, you're healthy. Regardless of whether you make it to the top or not, everyone should play sport anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's just when it comes to in terms of, you know, talking revenue, dollars and stuff like that, making comparisons, that's where we run into a little bit of issues. Mm-hmm. But in terms of who has the right to take the field where everyone watches, no one else gets to decide about the person taking the field. So mm-hmm. I think you should all hold your heads up high for, I wouldn't even say brave, I'd just say for doing what you love doing, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there is bravery to it because it's a physical game, but you also love it, and so that's why you're playing it. And
exactly.
And I see some of the women fighting there in the UFC. I'm like, man, I would not want to get punched in the face. Why are they in it, you know? Yeah, but there is a huge cultural shift, and in Australia, it's still moving in the right direction.
Yes.
Now you see like some vile comments on social media towards some of the women, just because of the, you know, the way they're built.
Yeah.
And you're going to get that everywhere.
Yeah, it's inevitable. You can't control that.
But I think in terms of PNG, we need to a huge focus there to change that attitude.
Definitely.
And orchids is a, I think, more powerful vehicle than, you know, the kumuls, because everyone already loves the kumuls.
Yes.
You get flogged by 80 points. Oh, go to the kumuls. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, orchids or any other team get flogged, they should stay home.
Yeah.
So you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Hey guys, just going to take a quick break from this episode. I want to mention Cuts Clothing. They've been a sponsor of mine for a couple of months now, and now they're sponsoring the episode. So I just want to talk a little bit about them. So these guys make elite apparel for the modern professional. As you can see, I've got the polo on, the cap. I enjoy wearing them every day, and I like to put myself in that modern professional category. And so every Cut shirt is designed to provide a perfectly tailored fit. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, polos, caps, hoodies, and more, so you can look and feel good no matter what the occasion is. Now, I wouldn't say I know too much about fashion, but one thing I do know is that Cuts have mastered the art and science of perfecting the men's tees. I wear these shirts for meetings, podcasting, catching up with friends at a cafe or a restaurant, or just when I'm at home spending time with my family. And because you guys are Mindset listeners, Cuts have allowed me to give you guys 15% off your total order. Head to cutsclothing.com, that's CUTSclothing.com, and enter DavidMead15 at checkout. All right, let's get back into the episode. Moving forward, you hurt your collarbone.
Yes.
But you played out the, you know, I'll give you a wrap here, you played the rest of the game. So it must be pretty tough. I don't know if that's a PNG or English blood.
Yeah, Give credit to the blood, PNG, because I know how tough they can be.
I've played against English lads. They're tough as nails.
Yeah.
There,
so. Yes.
But, yeah, so you hurt your collarbone. It's a five, six-month recovery period.
Yeah, about five, 6 months. So I broke it in 2020 in the grand final playing for South against Burley. Again, I did that at the very beginning. I'd never really done anything other than my knee, which was years prior to that. So I did it, and then I was speaking. Amelia Cook was my center because I was playing on the wing at that time. And I was like, Lars, I think I've done something to my arm. She's like, no, you're fine. Like, keep going. I was like, okay. And I just kept running up and down the sideline. And then I was like, no, Lars, I think it's a stinger. And I'd never even had a stinger before. And I was like, no, I think it's that. And she's like, oh, okay, then you'll be right then. And then, but in my head, I was like, I hope nobody runs my way. Yeah. And then the doctors, because it was the grand final, so we had all the QRL doctors there, and they're like, you can get off the field. And then it turns out I did break my collarbone. So I had played in there since then for 2 years. And then I was lucky enough to get named at fullback for that game. Maybe I shouldn't be named at fullback because each time I got injured.
Yeah, just get named at front. Cut that. Get named at front row and then you'll be fine.
Yeah. Just take it front on. Yeah. But yeah, because of the plate that was in there, it kind of broke on the inside of that. And then that was in the 8th minute. I think it was my first tackle. Just come across for a cover tackle and then made that and then got up and was like, oh. And then just get playing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pain there. I'm not going to
100%, not say yeah, that. It's painful. I did mine under 15s. Mm-hmm. I told the story before. But, yeah, it's not a – I mean, you hurt your fingernail. That hurts. Yeah. Imagine breaking a collarbone.
Yeah. I think there was so much adrenaline that it kind of just went out of sight, like out of mind. The doctors were coming on and they were like, oh, you're right. And I was like, yeah, there's like shooting pain up and down my arm. But they're like, can you make it to halftime? And I was like, yeah. Got to half time and then they assessed it and they're like, no, it's fine. And then,
jeez.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. And then they actually, I don't know if I can say this, but they gave me a needle to like numb because they thought it was nerve pain.
Yeah.
And like hitting on the old plate, it might have just moved or something. And then I was like, okay. And then it didn't help at all, but just kept playing. And then, yeah, full time. And then
found out it was broken. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when you're tough, Jace. It's when you know you're tough. I know blokes who've come off the field because they, little twinge or a little tickle in the rib. So you're up there with toughness, Jace.
I'd say adrenaline, yeah. But yeah.
In terms of your recovery and then next game, mm-hmm. When are you looking at comeback?
I actually went down to South training on Wednesday. I was their last training session. I just wanted to go and see the girls. And Maya, who was there, she's been really good. She'd watched pretty much my whole journey while I was at the World Cup and then kept checking in on me. So I just wanted to go and say thanks and Happy New Year. And then obviously I told her, like, I might miss the season because of this. And then, yeah, she just said to stay around the game, so yeah. I might just like run some water on and stuff. So yeah.
No, I think that's important. Eh? Just be part of the group still.
Yeah,
moving forward.
Yeah, I'm not really looking at my return at the moment. I'm kind of just focusing on my recovery and hopefully get back as soon as I can. But my main focus is just recovering.
Yeah, and in terms of growing up, did you grow up your local Brisbane?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Born and raised in Brizzy.
Yeah,
what was that like?
Beautiful weather, opposite to cold.
Any siblings?
Yes, I have one sister. She's just older than me, 4 years difference. Born on the same day.
Did she rough you up a bit?
No, actually, no. I don't know how I got into rugby league, considering it's such a, it's a physical game.
Yeah.
But our rule growing up was you weren't allowed to put your hands on each other.
Oh, really? So you're rebelling now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm releasing all that built up tension from when I was a child. No. We weren't allowed to put our hands on each other. I come from a really big family. So I have one sibling, but I've got a lot of cousins and
dad's side, mum's side?
Yeah. So my father moved over here in 75. Been here ever since, and my mum also came over from England when she was quite young, so they met here in Brisbane, and then like all their family are here, so yeah, I grew up with everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Had a lot of big sisters.
Yeah,
that were cousins that just, yeah, I'm the youngest of the first generation, so I was the baby of the family.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, got looked after really well.
Yeah, it's so good to grow up in that community environment with your family, cousins.
Mm. Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah, so I think it's such a good experience having that. So I try to do that with my kids as well. My brother's just moved from PNG.
Yeah, wow.
Brought his tribe over, 3 of them. And we're always looking for babysitters, so drop these 2 kids off.
Yeah.
You and I go for coffees and lunches.
Yep. Your date nights and stuff. Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, and in terms of going back to PNG, you've been there a couple of times now?
I've been there 3 times now for touch football and then for rugby sevens. And then for a holiday.
Yeah. Would you a holiday?
Kaviang.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
No, yeah. It's stunning, yeah. Yeah. It's just a little island up the top. So, yeah. Got to catch a little seaplane and
yeah.
Yeah, a little, like, yeah.
Did you go around Moresby much? Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that where you play the competition?
Yeah, actually, I was based in Port Moresby for those competitions.
How'd you find that experience?
They were wonderful experiences. The first time around I went, we were representing Australia, like an Australian PNG team that went over there. And then with that we had polar opposite experiences because we had security with us, and if you went here you had to take a buddy and a security guard, and so kind of didn't really understand that, not because obviously you're walking around and everyone's so friendly, but there was just always that thing in the back of your head that they kind of drilled into you while we were there. And then the second time I went was for the PNG Sevens team. We were training for the Olympic qualifier, and total opposite. We were just, we'd get picked up in our little team van, I guess you could say, and we'd go do the rounds and pick everybody up, and it was still dark. And so, like, having the experience where it was like security guard with you to just driving around at 5 a.m. in the morning to like all the different nooks and crannies of Port Moresby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had 2 different experiences, but
yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah,
when people talk about PNG, the first thing that comes to mind is safety.
Yes.
And when you're there and you're driving around, everything's just fine.
Yes.
It's just, you just hear about it on the news all the time.
Yeah.
I've never really seen any,
like, a fear factor,
physical violence or anything like that.
No.
I mean, I've seen the odd, you know, people get around because there's an argument.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen the physical fight, which actually happens. But, yeah, it's just my experience there is very different to how people see it through the media.
Yes. Most definitely. I mean, you only see me. I've only seen the physical on the field.
Yeah.
Through a couple of tackles here and there. But, I've never seen it on the street.
Yeah. And that experience of, you know, getting there and you need a security guard to get from here to there.
Just to go to the toilet. Like,
yeah,
that's what it was for. Like, you're going to the toilet, take a security guard. But,
Oh, true. Oh, I've never had that. But
Not into the toilet, but.
Yeah, it's a. Such a strange thing, because I'll go there with different groups. You sit down, there's a security briefing.
Mm-hmm.
There's normally like 10 security guards with the company, and I'll normally sit there and just observe everyone's reaction.
Yeah.
And with the security guards, you're seeing them, and the main guys going, "All right, don't go to this."
Yes.
When this happens, you know, get down undercover, get in the van, shut the door, you know, all that type of briefing. So he'll be up there trying to emphasize the importance of the message, and I'm looking around going.
And everyone, then they're like, where's David? Yeah. And you're over there, like 100 meters away.
Grabbing a coffee, yeah. And so when I see them, they're just like, I've heard this 1,000 times, you know.
Yeah.
It's not really, it is important.
Yes.
But it's not like how it's made out to be.
Yeah. There's always a big emphasis on
that. Yeah, and Tennille's been there 15 times.
Yeah.
Never felt unsafe.
Yeah.
So, and don't get me wrong, there you do need to be careful, not naive.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just always have to have be wary of your surroundings. But
So that's, and we went to the village with these guys as well, their security guards and stuff. And just a little bit off topic,
but
I thought I'd share it because it's pretty funny. I went with this ABC film crew to the village. And so, these guys are pretty, like, you know, you got to do everything right because it's government and, you know, politically correct, that type of stuff, that type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 2 security guards, when we got to the school, one of them had spoken to one of the teachers, and this is my village. And then we didn't clue on to who it was.
Yeah.
But when we drove past, the security guard goes, "Oh, hey, guys, do you mind if we go back down?" And then the ABC guys are like, "Oh, why is that?" And he turns around and goes, "Well, that lady said, if you can go back around and drive in this way." And the ABC guys go, "Which lady is it?" And he looks over and goes, "Oh, you see?" that fat one over there.
No.
And the look on the guys from, you know, Oz were like,
I cannot
believe he just said that, but he kind of said it so casually. Yeah. You know, that's just the cultural difference.
Yes.
And no one really, if you call someone fat in the village, they're just like, oh, compliment. I'm healthy and I'm eating.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. I've been eating right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got food. Yeah. So that, you know, that different type of mentality is, I find that so fascinating every time I'm there. The whole safety thing.
Yes.
The body image. I mean, I guess it's different cultural perceptions and ways of living, but I always have fun with, you know, that type of stuff going back there. And I'm sure you'll notice it more the more you go back to
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of like things that we did differently, but like while we were in camp, but.
You're kind of just there and.
It was more of just like enjoying each other's company and just laughing and laughing and laughing.
Where's your dad from?
My dad was born in Leh, which is a funny story because you get to know the players and things like that. And I kept saying like, oh, you know, I'm from Leh, which is Morobe, like Morobe woman. Morobe
province.
Yeah. And the girls would always call me like, oh, the Morobe lady, like, or Mary. Mary means lady. And when they did the get to know me, I went back to my like grandmother and where she was born, and then they were like, "You're not Morobe." They're like, "You're Sipik." Like it's like because you know when you hear you're like, "I'm born in Brisbane."
Yeah.
So you say, oh, "I'm from Brisbane. I'm born in Brisbane," and so I'd be saying the same thing about my dad. I'm like, "Oh, my dad's from like born in Leh," but they're like, "No, your blood is Sipik," and I was like, "Okay." Yeah. And then they kept
his parents, his family.
Yeah. Like my grandmother and my grandfather. My grandfather was born in Leh, but my grandmother was born in Sipik, and they kind of ran with that one. And I remember my roomie Leela, she's also Sipik, and to her that was like the craziest thing. Like she found that like bond with me through my blood being Sipik.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, everyone's very proud of where they're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She actually like punched me out of excitement. I was like, what? And then
instant rapport right there.
Yeah. Like she's like, you're Sipik. Stop saying you're Morobe. Like, and then, I remember walking up the stairs, like we come home from training and on the field, they kind of made out that I was a different person when I was on the field. Cause when I'm off, I'm like quite soft and gentle and, you know, and one of the girls was walking up the stairs with me and she's like, yeah, you're definitely Sipik. I was like,
yeah, that aggression and that anger is from Sipik.
And I said, what do you mean? And then, yeah, exactly what you said. And then she said, yeah, like they don't care. They're like real tough people in that region. And I went, what about off the field? And she went, nah, no, off the field, opposite.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, you can kind of say that about, you know, anyone really aggressive on the field. And not everyone is like that, but yeah.
But given that, like, I was, you know, raised in Australia, to, like, to have that said about me kind of made me feel a little bit proud.
Yeah. That's a cool experience. What was her name?
Pochi. Pochi, that one that said that. And then my roomie, Leela. Yeah.
Nice. And moving forward, do you want to play a few more games for Orchids, I'd imagine?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to hopefully get another World Cup in over in France. That would be the next goal. I mean, I did write a 2-year plan, and you know about that because we did train on that 1-year mark.
Yep.
Just some extra drilling from you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. That was my 2-year plan, was because obviously I'd spoke to you about it, but I was transitioning from center and I really wanted to play fullback. That was my goal, is to be kind of recognized as a fullback. So making that transition from that position and then going down the park with you and learning little bits from the crew that we had there, like the boys that were there with us, and just taking in as much information as I could. And then that goal was to get that position, and then going into, lucky enough to get named. And when I did, he then said, you know, there's that opportunity for you to play fullback. So kind of ticked off that like goal of mine, which I set 2 years ago. So I was just really proud of myself for that. And then yeah, like I wanted to learn how to kick as well, and I'd never done it before. But I was like, oh, I might as well just learn. And the only way you do that is by going down to the field and doing that. Like, it's just repetition. And then in that PM's game, I was lucky enough to get that duty of, you know, kicking the ball over the post. And like these little goals of mine I've slowly achieved, and I still have such a list. And obviously, like, you've got your setbacks and things like that with injuries, which is like inevitable with contact sport. But it's just about, you know, keep taking those steps forward and doing those little extras, like going down with you, and, you know, the stuff that they don't see is probably what counts the most, I think.
Yeah, I think that stuff's so important. It's the goals you set, you know, you got to see it, mm-hmm. in my opinion, my belief. Mm-hmm. You got to see it, and then you're going to do a lot of boring stuff. Mm-hmm. You're going to enjoy it, mm-hmm. but a lot of the time, I think 50% or more, you're probably not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to feel bored, or distractions get in the way. Injuries happen, like you said, they're inevitable. Mm-hmm. But just the whole repetition game, and, you know, quality repetition is always a slight difference there, mm-hmm. in terms of just going and just, you know, getting mm-hmm. the reps in, or you're there to get the proper reps in.
Yes.
I find they're the guys who at the next level compared to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was pretty proud, to be honest, watching you and Therese take the field, because that was our crew in preseason. You know, I think it poured down rain and the water was like, you know, after that, our feet. One of the sessions is boiling hot because it's December, January. Mm-hmm. And you toughed it out, and then we're in the Orchids jerseys at the end of the year. So we did, pretty cool, hey?
Well, yeah, we did speak about that. We didn't put any emphasis on it because we didn't want to put any pressure on ourselves. Therese and I, we were kind of just there, like you said, like just doing the stuff that you, if you have a goal, like you're gonna go out and enjoy what you're doing. Like, and we kind of just rocked up as if like it was something fun to do, and you know, and then what comes of that is just the bonus. And then, like you said, we both got to pull on a PNG Orchids jersey. So.
Yeah, it's so cool. I was watching the sideline going, man, it's pretty cool to see. Did a preseason and then representing PNG. I'm sure there'll be many more preseasons to come because the crew's been messaging me saying, when are we back?
Yes, yes.
But yeah, just I can't emphasize it enough to, you know, maybe I think some of the girls listening out there, that you got to train. Mm-hmm. And the more you train, the better you get, the better your chances are of representing PNG, mm-hmm. or representing the Orchids, mm-hmm. or Gillaroos, any other country. Mm-hmm. You just got to work harder than everyone else and make sure they're quality training sessions.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it's good if you can find a support system that's interested in the same goal, I guess, because when you do that, it just takes that pressure off, and you just got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to achieve that and putting in the hard work, like, you've got to enjoy it, otherwise you're not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
So I
certainly agree.
Finding that support system that, want to achieve the same things as you.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think we had a pretty good crew.
We did.
All right, so Shay, as we wrap up the podcast now, I'd like to throw off a few rapid-fire questions.
Oh, gosh.
Answer them as short as you like, as long as you like.
Okay.
Favorite meal?
You can't do that. That's a hard, like, you just started with the first hardest
thing
one.
First thing that comes to mind.
Favorite meal? Seafood, anything seafood. Yep.
Music?
Or like a surf and turf.
Oh, surf and turf. Mm. Is that steak and
the best prawns? Of
yeah. I remember that was my go-to pub meal, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Favorite music?
You do not want to check my Spotify. It can go from one end to the other.
That's like my
everything
list,
except for Screamo.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Screamo fans.
Favorite movie of all time?
Oh, gosh. My head's like this. Like the Netflix. Yeah. Favorite movie, Meaty?
Lion King.
The Lion King.
Of all time.
Really?
Nothing comes close, yeah.
Why is that?
I think I've watched it about at least 20 times, at least, maybe more. And
actually,
it's just always,
I've got one.
I love quoting it. Yeah,
now that you've said that, you've watched it a million times. The Little Rascals. I could watch that. Like.
Yeah, that was a good.
Yeah.
That was a good childhood movie, that one.
Yes.
Good choice. If there's a billboard up there and Shay De La Cruz can put a sign on it, mm-hmm. what would be on there?
Sunsets.
Yeah.
There you go, beauty.
You can have a free cocktail up there, Shay.
Thank you.
For that shout out. Shay, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
I know you were pretty nervous before this and you said you hadn't had much media training, so I do appreciate you getting out of your comfort zone.
It's my first one.
First ever podcast. Yes. I'm sure it won't be the last.
Thanks.
And you know, if you make it big in the media, claim your first training session. So thanks, Shay. Really appreciate you being on
here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's beauty.